Welcome to Threshold Stories, crossing thresholds one story at a time. I'm your host, Jeff Gora. Today's guest is Michael Kachuk. I just call him Mike. Mike's family landed in California many years ago as they immigrated from Europe to the United States. So Mike's a first-generation American. Mike has a very interesting story that I thought everybody should hear. Mike Kachuk, welcome to Threshold Stories.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So you missed out on this with all your peers here a few weeks ago. You weren't able to do this, but that's kind of better because I think you deserve your own as opposed to being a part of a string of people being interviewed concurrently here. I thought your story was unique enough to the point where I thought I'd let you try to get the whole thing out because you have a unique way of tying together both the physical, the mental, and the spiritual in your story that few see as being concurrent. So let's just play this back from the beginning script for everybody who hasn't listened to anything I've said so far. So you went to Alabama. What sent you to Alabama?
Honestly, it was you planting the idea. Introduced me in the introduction and talked about how I've been with the Threshold group for a while now. Usually just the workouts that we have during the week. Mm-hmm. And over that time, we've kind of built up a relationship, you know, gotten to know each other, certainly had plenty of workouts together to get a feel for each other's talents and abilities.
Yeah,
and
you can outrun me. Let's just say it.
I'm all right. But at any rate, you know, that presented, really a unique opportunity for you to plant that idea. Really, I think it was after.
So what was the idea?
That duathlon was a worthwhile duathlon nationals was a worthwhile event to pursue. Okay. So that maybe seems like why make little of that? And I think the significance of that is everything that led up to this past spring. You had COVID, you had events getting canceled left and right. So for me, I have one half iron distance triathlon that's been rescheduled 3 or 4 times.
Right.
So that's in the back of my mind, and it's like, oh, okay, another event, sure, a virtual run, right? That's what it's going to be.
So you thought there was a reasonable chance this puppy was either going to get canceled or suck.
I didn't want to get my hopes up.
Fair.
You know, the 2020 was a year of dashed hopes, if we want to give it a moniker, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, it was one of those situations where it's like, you know, okay, I'll get around to some events. And I think that also spoke to just maybe mentally where I was in that season to, you know, just maybe go through the motions, you know, go through it another day, another workout, whatever. But it was funny how I think if I had to pick a particular day, it was in April, I believe, when I'd gotten back from a week at Arizona at elevation, and just had a monster of a workout with you guys on the bike.
Yeah. So for the record, guys, you listening in? So there's this concept of measuring how hard you're going, and we use tools on our bike. One of them's called FTP, how hard you're pushing the pedals. Normally hanging with you on the bike is not an act of rocket science or something like a brain surgeon has to do. I had to do everything I could to stay with you. I had nothing left after 15 miles. Normally that never happens. And I said, Mike, that was the best workout of your flipping life. Yeah, it's all right.
Felt good.
It's good.
Felt really good.
I said, stop going to that place. You're coming back and you're killing us all.
So, yeah.
Nope, I mean, because you dropped everybody, except I was the only person left at the end there standing and barely standing at that. So let's talk about the day or two before the event. So we all go down and as a group to Alabama to participate in this event. What can you recall about that first day or day or so, even a few hours before your first national championship like that?
So for me, I always wrestle with a certain amount of anxiety before a race. And I think many people do. And we all cope with it in different ways or more open about it. So me just being real. Yeah, it's there. You know, I have a routine that I go through. It's a sense of normalcy. It's a sense of getting my head in the right place. Even once you get to the venue and, you know, you're within 20 minutes of starting, you've got, you know, a variety of, of warm-ups you've been doing or whatnot. Right. So for me, it was a surreal feeling to actually be doing an event in person. And it struck me kind of like, oh, this is a big deal. Like both in terms of the competition that was present, you know, some of the very best in the country. But also the blessing that it's in person, you know, you're finally here racing against other people and it's not some avatar on a screen or, you know, some, you know, clock that you're just, you know, pacing against.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so.
Well, you're certainly burned out on those.
No doubt. You know, and they have their place. But I think leading up to that, the last in-person race I did was 2019 Triathlon Nationals in Cleveland. So it had been, what is that, about
2 years.
Close to, yeah, it was 2019, so at least a year and a half, I don't know, from whatever. But yeah, that was such a refreshing feeling to be able to do that again. You know, when you know, the year before, it was kind of like, well, we don't really know if this is going to get back to normal. But leading up to the event, so for me, you know, you touched on, you know, something for me very, very specific about blending the physical, the spiritual, the mental side of it. So, you know, I kind of touched on, yeah, you do your warm-ups, the physical side. Yeah, I mean, you have your routines that you go through for the mental aspect, you know. But for me, you know, the spiritual side is inseparable. You know, I'm a born again believer in Christ, and you know that is huge for me. That it's not just a part of my being; it's woven into every part of my being. You know, and that's by no means, you know, trying to tout anything about myself. But before the race, you know, that's always been a thing for me to, you know, most often just pray with myself, not to pray to win. It's really just about, you know, how I conduct myself out there, that it's not making much of me, but making much of, my God. It's also, you know, for the safety of everyone out there. I mean, we're all going to jump on bikes and smash it for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on your abilities. There's a lot that could go wrong. And that's speaking from someone who has wrecked, on a bike. So, there's a very real, you know, aspect of, you know, safety out there. And that matters to me, not just for myself, but for every other competitor out there. So for me, this was kind of, wow, this culmination of, wow, I'm coming out of a really dark season, from the previous year and not being able to do something I'm very passionate about. I'm getting to do it now. I'm getting to do it on this huge stage. I'm getting to do it with, close friends. You know, I was there with you, with other Threshold Academy athletes and other, individuals that we were, you know, met during the time that we were there and friends. So it was really just, it was incredibly fulfilling. And it was incredibly just such gratitude that I had to be able to do that. And so, you know, it's like this fever pitch that's building up. You know, you have this, you know, these feelings of gratitude, this anxiety from the start of a race. You know, the first, you haven't raced in a while and you're jittery. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got some intimidation with these other folks around here that, you know, are, you know, top athletes. You know, you've seen what they can do, or you've heard about it,
They have on just spandex that's skin tight, you can see making it up.
Well, that aside, you know, just like, but yeah, so it's all of this coming together. And for me, it was just a sense of peace. Like, all right, like, let's go. You know, I'm going to leave everything I got, on the course, give it my very best. And what happens. You know, it's, I did not come in there with, necessarily an expectation that, you know, I'm going to podium or I'm going to throw down this time. I planned, I prepared and I had an idea, but it was one of those things where I'm at a place, in my spiritual walk to say, you know, I just sort of relinquish the outcomes of all these things. You know, I don't grip on them so tightly and let them control me.
Yeah, one of the things you've heard me share is that we don't control who else goes to the race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you happen to have Usain Bolt and his buddies show up for a run, well, that's that. You're not going to see a podium, but you can do the best you've ever done.
Sure.
That certainly is a great outcome, but saying it's not good if I don't get in the top five, that's, you're basically not having, you don't have control over who else shows up at an event like that. So what can you remember about the end of the first race and what happened after the end of that first race?
Ooh. So end of the first race, I think we probably
will have different stories here.
Yeah,
you go first.
What I do remember is that I emptied the tank and ended up in the medical tent.
Right.
I went into.
For the audience, that's bad.
I would not advise it as a routine activity.
No.
But for me, what it was is the last, I would say, probably third of a mile or so to the finish line. I kind of pegged out the competitor in front of me and had been sort of shadowing them and watching them. And mm-hmm. Let's be honest, I was staking them out. I was like, okay, I'm going to beat this guy.
You're going to reel him in.
I'm going to reel him in and I'm going to beat him at the end. And so I just basically, once we rounded this last corner to get to this final stretch into the finisher's chute, I gave it everything that I had left. And I remember getting into the, I guess it's like an amphitheater kind of thing over mm-hmm. there in Tuscaloosa. And I remember getting to that point, and this was about a minute or a minute and a half into doing that effort or something like that. And I was actually genuinely confused because I could not see the finish line. And I sort of took a moment to like, what is going on? And I think in that I realized, wow, okay, I'm really pushing myself where I'm now getting very confused in a race, which is not a normal experience for me.
So losing color vision is somewhat normal when you start pegging your threshold and going beyond it. But total sense of disarray about your locations, that's not.
And the Garmin data behind it said I was beyond my maximum heart rate by that point. I didn't know this at the time, but this was afterward where it was higher than that. That was something I'd never done before. But at any rate, crossed the finish line. It's funny looking back at the race photos and like just seeing the physical anguish on my face mm-hmm. when I crossed, because I have no really recollection of it other than crossing the line mm-hmm. and nearly falling over, and then sort of remembering, okay, I went to the medical tent. They threw a bunch of ice packs on me and gave me some water. And I guess a few minutes later, I sort of got back to a stable state. So you
jumped up like a deer hit by a car and you ran back into the woods.
Maybe, who knows? I'll leave that to the sane witnesses that were there at that moment to speak to. But I didn't feel like my life was in any danger. There's plenty of medical staff there and they're all very competent. They took care of me and I was good. And I remember getting, leaving that and just sort of kind of in this state of amazement, like, wow, that was a new experience. Mm-hmm. And I've had bad races before where I've like messed up my nutrition and got to the end of the race and it was just not a good day. But this one was different. This one was just, it was that, but it was also a sense of accomplishment. Like, wow, everything that I could have asked for about that race in terms of things coming together, being able to just push myself and tying it back to, the spiritual aspect, just having a real, I don't know how to explain it. Just feeling just a total peace about, the whole race and how everything went.
From my perspective, and part of this is as your coach, but part of this is as your friend at the same time, when you guys came up to me, it was Connor that came up to me. He doesn't have any hesitancy about this. He said, hey, we both got on the podium. And I knew what that meant, but I was in disbelief. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, yeah, I think one of us got fourth and the other person got fifth in the country. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, did I completely underestimate you guys? I thought, is that even possible? How could that have happened? I mean, I knew how it happened. I've working sure. with you long. I mean, I got there from here. It just was, it was above my expectations. And I think you said it was pretty much above yours as well.
Yeah. I mean, so my point of reference was triathlon nationals in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And I think I finished right at like the 66% mark. So like 2/3 of the people in front of me and 1/3 of the people behind me. And you know, I mean, it's a humbling experience. You realize, wow, there are some fantastic athletes out here. You know, but at the same time, I think my expectations then were, hey, I arrived. I just made it to the nationals. I'm happy. Whereas this one, I think duathlon nationals in Tuscaloosa, I had a slightly different attitude of, you know, I'm really here to do something greater. I'm here mm-hmm. to, you know, not only just put my very best out here, but also just doing things for the glory of God. And that is just such a different motivation, mm-hmm. To have that in the back of your mind, to have that as sort of this foundation that you're really building everything upon and what is ultimately what is motivating you at the end mm-hmm. of the day. So yeah, that was.
So motivating at the end of the day, let's leap from there.
Sure.
When I, suggested you guys go to Alabama, I had a motive in that I felt that you were capable of competing on the world stage, and I felt like you needed to prove that to you first, hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And while we were in Alabama, you guys got your verbal notification that you were going to be given a Team USA slot, and you were going to get a chance to represent the country
yeah.
and travel to Australia and compete. Talk through what that felt like, what that meant to you.
you know, I'm still processing it. If I'm being totally, totally honest. Mm. So, you know, for me, I've never viewed myself as kind of that caliber of an athlete. I saw it as more of a recreational thing. Hey, I love doing this. It's good for me physically, you know, and I like to push myself, you know, so let's do all those things together. And let the chips fall where they may. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's where many...
There's a lot of things right with that. I would go so far as to say.
Yeah. And so, you know, it wasn't like there was... I never felt like lacking, you know, in mm-hmm. any respect that, oh, if I don't win, you know, all you know, national titles or first places in races or whatever, like that I'm somehow not measuring up or not living up to something. So for me, it was, I think it was just, it was surreal to say, you know, you stack up with the best in the country, you know, you've earned an opportunity to go represent, you know, yourself and your country, your nation, on the world stage against your contemporaries from, you know, every other country in the world that happens to be present. And, it's a huge honor. You know, yeah. It's a huge honor, and obviously you've done it, so you know firsthand what that's like. So all I have are stories to go off
sure,
of.
Sure, sure.
But still, I mean, you know, growing up, most of us have probably seen either the opening ceremony of the Olympics or some mm-hmm. medal award ceremony, and you can see the passion and what it means to be on that stage. Even if there are individuals who are not winning, I mean, you talk about the opening ceremonies, like that is a lifelong, you know, achievement for mm-hmm. so many people. So many people don't ever get to do that. And I'm just comparing it to the Olympics and that's not to say, you know, this is the Olympics, but I mean, it's the closest thing I've ever, you know, been a mm-hmm. part of in my life. And that's
well, most huge. Sports aren't Olympic sports. Is that like yeah. American football? Oh, by the way, the world's biggest money-making sport on a single country basis. It's not in the, I mean, that people get it fundamentally yeah. that Olympics are a very small subset of sports.
Yeah.
So because not everybody listening understands what happens. So it's currently July of 2021 and the world championships are in 14 months. Do a mini timeline of what you're going to do between now and August of 2022 when you land in Australia so people get a so people can get a perspective about what this means.
Sure. So first thing right now is to get healthy. So I've had nagging injuries for 10 plus years of doing stuff, and also more recent type things. So, you know, in order to build any solid foundation going into worlds, it's get healthy. Once we can start achieving that, then we can really start making, I think, really meaningful progress. Right now that's working with Glenn Thompson, running coach, to really hone in my running form.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Get that to what that needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Working with you, obviously, to do some different stuff, more on the cycling side of things. And
you know, hair color management stuff.
Yeah. Okay. The little details.
Right.
So things like that. I think
well, what are some of the events you're going to be doing between now and August? People get a perspective about what a Team USA training athlete in training is doing.
Right. So the next upcoming event, which is in July, it's a local race. Hot Dog It Century. So it's just about 100 miles with 10,000 feet of elevation. So akin to a mountain stage in one of the grand tours in Europe. Mm. So think Tour de France.
So a bike race. You got a bike race coming up in July.
Yeah. So we got that. We have long course duathlon nationals in September. We've got some smaller duathlon races, more local stuff, regional stuff coming up in the fall. Beyond that, if my half iron race gets rescheduled, maybe this fall, maybe next spring, you know, maybe that'll be a thing. But we'll find out. So that's probably the immediate stuff. We also have some training camps scheduled in there.
That's right.
Early next spring, so in March, we actually have a cycling camp up in Spain.
That's right.
Mountains. So that's going to be. That's going to be loads of fun. Oh my gosh! Epic. So I am so looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
So
if the weather cooperates, and it typically does, that'll be a forever kind of memory.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. So I mean, there's a lot on the calendar. Obviously, the next couple months, and more could be added to it quite easily. But it's it'll be a balance. Got to see how the body responds to it. How does the
Have you gotten it down to one or two sentences yet? When people say, "What's this Team USA thing you're doing?"
One or two. I don't know if I've gotten it.
Nobody has the attention span to listen to a podcast like this every time.
I hear you. So Team USA. So I am representing the United States in a duathlon competition against other individuals like myself from all over the world. We are going to do an event that includes a run followed by a bike followed by another run. That's about it. I mean,
that's not that much different than mine, by the way. I typically say swim, bike, run, but get rid of the swim and replace it with another run.
Sure. Yeah.
That's the fast answer for some people. So at the bottom here, I'm going to have a link where people can go to follow you, because you have a GoFundMe campaign going, letting other people help you out on this process. You don't have to do it all alone. And where can they follow you on social?
So social media would be Instagram, Michael_Kachuk2. So like the number 2.
Okay.
So you can find me there. That's where you'll get kind of more of the day in and day out stuff on what's going on in my life.
And you can see the spelling of Kachuk down in the segment, the little section there at the bottom. How are people going to remember you? What do you want the answer to that to be?
Really? So honestly, for me, you know, my hope is that if people encounter me, that they see more of my faith being reflected in my conduct, in my words, my abilities are. I mean, certainly that the event is going to showcase my abilities, but to know that I'm not doing it for my own sense of accomplishment. I really want to say that look, this has been a blessing and a passion, and an opportunity given to me, And it's not me that I'm doing it for. It's for Christ. So if anything, you know, I want to point folks to that.
Well, you make us look good. You obviously make me look good. And it's just icing on the cake that I can look you in the eyes and tell you that I love you, because I do. It's a real gift.
Jeff.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah. Thank you, too. Love you, too, man. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this chapter of Threshold Stories, Crossing Thresholds, One Story at a Time. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or on my Facebook page at Jeff Gora, Team USA.